to the AgeTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you to have a normal Christian life and a normal church life, so that you might be one that the Lord could use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we will continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. And in today's broadcast, we will come back to this matter of the need for a direct, first-hand relationship with the Lord. In the Bible, there are a number of portions that are specifically directed at young people. For example, in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes has a message for the young people. Of course, at the beginning of the book, which was written by King Solomon, he says, "Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity." But at the end of the book, in Ecclesiastes 12, the conclusion of all that he speaks in this book is this: "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." So we can see that Solomon's burden was to speak something to the young people, that they would learn from the experiences of the older generation. In the New Testament, similarly, we have the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. In these two books, Paul is writing to his younger co-worker, and he says in the first book, "Let no one despise your youth." He was trying to strengthen Timothy, who was actually a third-generation believer. His mother and his grandmother were believers who worked together to put faith into Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul warns and charges Timothy, "Flee the youthful lusts." So we can see from these portions that everything in these books is to strengthen the younger generation. However, there is this one portion in the book of Genesis that is specifically geared to not only the young people in general, but those of the second generation. And that is the story of Lot. As we mentioned last time, Lot was the nephew of Abraham. The God of glory appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, and this began Abraham's journey of faith. And we know that Abraham brought his family on this long journey to the land of Canaan. And throughout the story of Abraham and Lot, we can see that Lot never took any initiative in the things of the Lord. And it seems that God never appeared to Lot. Always, Lot's moving along was under the influence of others. When Abraham was up, Lot was up. When Abraham went down to Egypt, Lot also went down to Egypt. Actually, brothers and sisters, it is not a bad thing to be brought into God's way by others. Probably the majority of believers were brought into God's way by others, by family members, by friends. This is actually a mercy of the Lord. The problem with Lot was not this. The problem with Lot was that after being brought into God's way passively, he remained in that passive condition, and he never took any initiative in seeking God, in seeking God's appearing. He was, you could say, like a piece of driftwood, just floating along. In Genesis 13, we see that there was a conflict between the herdsmen who were taking care of Lot's flocks and the herdsmen who were taking care of Abraham's flocks. And because of this conflict, Lot separated himself from Abraham, who was actually his spiritual covering. He had been brought into God's way by Abraham, but was passive. Then, when he separated himself from Abraham, we can see from here all the way down to Genesis 19 that Lot began to go in a kind of downward spiral. He drifted to a situation that was wicked and sinful before God, and that was in Sodom. From this account, brothers and sisters, I believe we can see two very valuable lessons. Firstly, we should not remain passive, just content with being brought into God's way by others. We should take initiative in our Christian life before the Lord. On the other hand, we should realize that we should never leave the proper spiritual influence. It is for our protection. And if we give it up, we lose our protection. We lose our covering. And like Lot, there is the potential that we will drift downward into Sodom. We would drift downward into a situation that is wicked and sinful before God. It is true that we shouldn't be passive under the influence of the older generation. On the other hand, we should realize that it's a mercy that we have the older generation as our covering, as our protection. And we should remain under that covering, but seeking God that we would have a direct and firsthand relationship with Him. Lot was Abraham's nephew. But eventually, Abraham had his own son, and that was Isaac. And then Isaac had a son, Jacob. And it's very interesting to see how these second and third generations, their experience was such a contrast to the experience of Lot. You know, in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God refers to himself as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. When God appeared to Moses in the wilderness, in the burning thorn bush, he introduced himself to Moses as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. This was the God of his father. But it's interesting to trace how this title developed. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, God comes to Isaac, and he introduces himself to Isaac as the God of his father, the God of Abraham. At this point, he had not become Isaac's God. God likes to be known as the God of a person. You know, in the book of Daniel, God is referred to as the God of Daniel. Can God refer to himself as your God with your name? In Genesis 26:13, God appears to Jacob. Now, Jacob is the third generation. And he comes to him and introduces himself as the God of his father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac. So between Genesis 26 and Genesis 28, God became the God of Isaac. This second generation person became a person with a first-hand direct relationship with the Lord. But by Genesis 28, he was not yet the God of Jacob. We see in the following chapters in the book of Genesis how God deals with Jacob, and Jacob has many experiences that bring him to the point where he has a first-hand direct relationship with the Lord. And then God himself refers to himself as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. So we can see from this that we have some very positive examples of a second and even a third generation person that eventually received the benefit of being brought into God's way by others, but did not remain passive in that state, but rather developed a first-hand contact with the Lord. Since I was a young Christian, I've loved Psalm 18, the first three verses. They read, "I love you, O Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my crag and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high retreat. I called upon Jehovah, who is worthy of praise." Dear brothers and sisters, I hope that the Lord will be so personal to you that you could refer to him as your shield, your refuge, your retreat, your rock. Similarly, Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3, he talks about how he counts all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He gave up a lot to follow the Lord. And we see this from so many portions in the New Testament. And he suffered a lot. But his testimony was that it was worth it because he had the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. Paul had such a direct and sweet and intimate and personal relationship with Christ. And in the same chapter, 3:10, he says, "To know him and the power of his resurrection." I love these words, "to know him." Oh, brothers and sisters, our desire is to know him. Not just to know about him, not just to know many things from the Bible, but to know him. And this is our desire for every one of the second and third generation, that we would know him. In our hymn book, hymn 510, has, I believe, more than 70 items of what Christ can be to us. This hymn begins, "I found the one of peerless worth. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I." Then it continues with verse after verse, my Christ, he is the Lamb of God who full salvation brings. He is the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. I really love verse 7. Christ is my Savior, Shepherd, Lord, my advocate above, my counselor, my father, God, my brother, friend, and love. And the last two verses, 14 and 15, read, my Christ, the all-inclusive one, my Christ, what shall I call? He is the first, he is the last, my Christ is all in all. Since such a treasure I possess, my heart doth sing for joy, and I must sing and sing again. Oh, what a Christ have I. I hope, dear brothers and sisters, that this can be the testimony of every one of us. My Christ, oh, what a Christ have I. I hope that we would tell the Lord, Lord, give me this kind of experience, even for my whole life. Lord, lead me into the sweetest, most intimate, firsthand, direct relationship with you. Lord, every day I want to love you more. I want to know you more. Well, that's all the time that we have today. As always, if you have any feedback or fellowship, we certainly would like to hear from you, whether it's on this podcast, in this series, or this line, or anything on our website. We hope that you would write us at contactus@ageturners.com. O Lord, we love you. O Lord, bring every one of us into a first-hand, direct relationship with you. Lord Jesus, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.